Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Pod Pals, your perfectly cromulent Simpsons podcast. We are back after New Year, Christmas, all the happy festivities that make life worth living are now over, and the crushing reality of your dreadful lives is back. Sorry about that. However, I have a little friend here who might be able to alleviate those pressures a little bit, and he's going to introduce himself now.
Oh no, I'm here to alleviate nothing. Strap yourselves in, things are about to get a whole lot worse.
It does a whole lot worse because we're going to be talking about Rabbi Krzyzewski.
What was that accent, Dan? Do you want to explain to the listeners?
That was me doing an impression of a man doing an impression of a rabbi, you schmutz.
Second one was better. Second one was
okay,
better.
Okay, thanks.
First one, you sound like Muhammad Ali.
Flow like a butterfly, sting like a bee. I don't know what that was, though, because that wasn't Muhammad Ali.
No, it was racist is what it was.
This week, we're going to review Like Father, Like Clown, written by Jay Cogan and Wallace Wolodarski, directed by Jeffrey Lynch and Brad Bird, airing on the 24th of October, 1991. Anthony, initial thoughts?
This is one of the ones that I really used to like as a kid. I'm going to say it yet again because, you know, season three is like my go-to season, to be favorite one out of all of them. But this one was always like an absolute cracker.
It's a meaty episode, isn't it? I was putting out the plot, like bullet points for the episode, and I was thinking, God, this is a lot, like the page goes on a lot longer than what it normally does.
Yeah, I've almost gone halfway down my page today, would you believe, which is unheard of for the preparation of this podcast.
That is a rarity. Simpsons question this week, Anthony. Who is your favourite religious leader in Springfield?
God. I would have to say the leader.
Oh, I've got a couple of beans that look like the leader.
Daniel, none of these beans look like the leader.
The leader is good. The leader is great.
Who's yours?
The leader.
Yeah, I do like the leader. I do like the leader.
I do quite like Reverend Lovejoy, obviously. I like the bit where the comet's about to hit Springfield and like Homer's going, oh, don't worry, the religious people look after us. And Reverend Lovejoy's running through the streets going, it's all over, people. We don't have a prayer. I do like how in his panic, he's so willing to just throw his dog's collar away.
I love when he saves Ned from the chimpanzee enclosure, and he's recounting the story in one of his sermons, and he's like, and I came at him with a left and a right, and he was snarling at me.
I mean, I know that his character is kind of based on like the crazy southern preacher, and you do get that vibe from him.
Yeah, definitely. I tell you what I don't like is fucking Mrs.
Oh, Chatterbox.
Helen, do you know what she's good for now there?
Nasty piece of work, isn't she, Helen?
She is.
And to be fair, the daughter is as well.
I tell you. Oh, hi, Jessica. I forgot about Jessica.
Jessica Lovejoy. She's a honey trap, isn't she? Bart into being her boyfriend, etc., and just gets him to do all the horrible stuff, and he gets the blame. Poor old Bart.
One of my favourite gags is that episode with her, is when Lisa's trying to tell Bart to resist her, and he's like, I can't. I'm already drawn to her beautiful tones. And he walks in the church, he's just Ned.
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it?
It's Bart's little.
Yeah, it is very funny, actually, that. I forgot about that joke until you just mentioned there. Yeah, that was really funny. What is it about the leader?
Well, I just think that, you know, if you listen to what he promises, seems pretty bang on, doesn't it? You know what I mean?
Well, utopia.
Yeah, just, you know, it seems really nice. I like the vibe of the whole. I wouldn't call it a cult. I don't want to use that word.
Well, I was just about to interject and say that I think me and you would be perfect for a cult. Not to start one, just to be in one.
No, do you know why? Because we're sheep.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah,
suck it in. Yeah,
and like I think we'd rise to not like a managerial level, but certainly like a team leader sort of level, where like because we were such zealots, we would like be able to initiate people and get them into our way of thinking. I think we'd be good at that.
Yeah, we would be the ones where like we still had to commit suicide at the end, but like we would have to pour everyone else's cup.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
We'd be trusted to do that because we've worked our way up and we've shown that we'd be trusted.
Exactly. Nice. I think that's very wholesome, actually, that. Anyway, yes. If you would like to, join the Starbeam cult. Yeah, look, Anthony, how about some fun facts for you? Does that tickle your fancy or what?
Yeah. Tell me something. I'm starting to think.
Fun facts for this episode. There was two ribeyes.
Ribeye steaks.
Yeah, I was going to say two ribeye steaks were involved in the writing of the. there was two rabbis involved in the writing of the episode to specialize in Judaism to make Krusty and his father feel more realistic. I think that definitely jumps out of the episode to me. Actually, it feels sort of really authentic.
Yeah, like it is like respectful. Do you know what I mean? Like, Herschel Krusty, isn't he?
But Herschel Krusty.
Yes,
Dad. Herschel. Yeah. It stinks.
Rabbi Krusty. Although he has a few funny lines, like the joke isn't that, oh, he's funny because he's Jewish. Like that would have been like the low hanging fruit, I think, to go for, which the writers avoided. It's not like, oh, he's funny. Ha, look at this Jewish man in his funny hat.
He's funny because it's, I mean, at the end of the day, there was two rabbis consulting on this. It's quite realistic how he responds to Krusty and how he treats his son and stuff, really.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know they had people kind of flown in specific. Well, not flown in. I don't know how they got them in, probably taxi or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's
probably enough dew tunnels in New York that are doing the rounds at the minute.
Did you see the tweet from that guy who'd said, you know, about 6 months ago, I'm hearing sort of Yiddish people underneath me floorboards and I don't think I'm going mad. And like the internet has effectively diagnosed this guy as a paranoid schizophrenic. And now he has been like vindicated to like more than what anybody has ever been vindicated. Like, since I told you there were Jewish people under the floorboards. Didn't I warn you?
I like to think there's like, he's in an institution somewhere now and like there's a news report on the telly like showing you about those tunnels and that Jewish man climbing out the tunnel and like an orderly just slowly shuts the door with like a needle in his hand ready to sedate him.
Like, you know, when Bart's getting 2 weeks, I told you it was on the side of the bus. I told you. Yes, you told us. Yes. they brought in a couple of rabbis. Now, speaking of rabbis, comedian Jackie Mason voices Hyman Krzysztofski, or Rabbi Krzysztofski, as we know. Before he became a comedian, Jackie Mason, he was actually an ordained rabbi.
Was he?
Fun fact, isn't it?
I feel like that's like the only two jobs Jewish people have. You're either a comedian or you're a rabbi. There's no in between.
Like I am telling you now, Dustin Hoffman, before he was a comedian, was a rabbi. No two ways about it. Rabbi Krzysztofski, he's a semi-recurring character until season 26 when he dies in the episode Clown in the Dumps, where he dies of natural causes.
Fucking hell. Jesus. I mean, we might as well discuss that now because there's no way we're getting season 26 in this podcast. So if you
I wouldn't have thought so. So here's the thing. When this is going to happen, so I mean, season 26, what was that, about 6-7 years ago? Paddy Power were taking bets because The Simpsons were advertising there's going to be a death at the season finale of this episode. And it was like, oh, who's it going to be? And I'd sort of done a little bit of research, thought, well, they can't get rid of that person because of this. And I had 20 quid on Rabbi Krzysztofski at like 20 to 1. And I thought, this is it. But Paddy Power refused to pay out because they got the wording of the bet wrong. They said, which character will die at the end of season 25? So they voided the bet because of their own mistake. So I didn't get a payout. I got me 20 quid back, but I didn't get like what should have been 400 quid.
Jesus Christ. What made you think it was going to be him then, Rabbi Krzysztofski?
My logic was, I remember this very clearly, actually. My logic was, who can they afford to lose, who you wouldn't really miss, and who's an old person? And I was saying, it's not going to be Grandpa. It's not going to be Agnes Simpson because there's too much comedy value. It's not going to be Mole Man. But who's like in and out of the episodes, and who could they base an episode around? I thought, well, we've already had a massive episode on Krusty and his dad. Why wouldn't we have that again?
Yeah, it's mad how you can even place bets on that sort of thing. Like,
Well, I mean, you can bet on anything, can't you? Literally.
that one, there was one in Las Vegas. It was on like Twitter a year ago where it was like one of those big betting boards in Las Vegas, and it was giving you odds on who chopped Mr. Burns from like 1997.
Yes, that's right.
And
It, it's.
Maggie was like fourth. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but yeah, Maggie was like
Yeah.
fourth in the running.
I mean, I'm just looking now. You can like bet on Dancing on Ice, the Oscars, BBC Sports Personality. I'm a Celebrity. Who's going to be on it in 2024?
Is
I mean,
already.
So would you like to know? We've got Gareth Southgate, Heston Blumenthal, Eddie Hearn, Boris Johnson. I wouldn't be surprised Boris Johnson went on, actually.
Nah, to be fair, I think it's one of those things you can bet on. Yeah, I think you can bet on anything. Let's like you say, the worst one I've found was stuff like that was well, there's one for WrestleMania years ago, like the wrestling and stuff, and it was when. Remember the Undertaker, how he'd never been beaten at WrestleMania, and you could always put bets on, is he going to win at WrestleMania? Is he not? And it was always like a surefire bet that he was going to win. And there was a lad from Hartlepool of all places, which isn't too far away from us, and he'd bet like 34 grand. I don't know where he'd got this money to begin with, but he'd bet like 34 grand on the
Drugs,
Undertaker to win.
drugs, drugs, drugs.
What?
So you made a joke where you got that money from. I cut in a comedic fashion to say drugs. Drugs is where I got the money from. But if you don't want this podcast to be funny, Anthony, that's just fine by
No, I
me.
don't. I don't want this podcast to be funny, Dad. I was telling the viewers, the listeners, about the
The
Undertaker
viewers,
I
the
was.
viewers. We don't
Yes,
have
Dad.
viewers. We barely have listeners.
That's true. That is very true. That is very true. Yeah, no. Oh, yeah. I thought you were offering me some drugs. I was like, not on air, Dan. Please, not on
No,
air.
after when we get in the
All
bath together, we'll have some drugs.
right.
I'm not having the tap in tonight, though.
I only notice that I take the drugs. You never seem to take yours.
Then you fall asleep very quickly in
But
the
yeah,
bath. Just, just.
he bet on the Undertaker to win at WrestleMania, 34 grand, and his return was only going to be like 34,200, so he was going to get like an extra 200 quid. And the Undertaker got beat, and like it made me think I'd be so. I mean, I get angry anyway when I lose a bet, but something like that where it's clearly just been somebody in fucking New York has like made that decision before you've probably even placed the bet. So like you were never gonna win, it would just drive
Exactly.
me insane. Like,
I suppose this is the risk of, betting on something that's already decided. I'd like the wrestling is, like, I suppose at least if you're betting on football, basketball, whatever, there's like factors that can come into play. Whereas
yeah.
if Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker sat down with Vince McMahon and said, "Well, this is what's happening," well, that's the end of it, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But I'm pleased that you got your 400. Well, no, you didn't get your 400 quid, did you? That was the
No, I
whole point of
didn't.
the story.
No,
Sorry,
they
I was
didn't.
listening.
They
I was
didn't pay
listening.
out. The Paddy Power didn't pay out at all. Hyman Krasowski. There's going to be a lot of old Jewish guy impressions.
See, I don't know whether we're okay to do that, Dan. That's my big worry. That's my big worry.
Well, look, we're not allowed to do a lot of things. We had a guy wrote in asking, "Will you please release the forbidden episodes?" And I was going, "Oh, don't worry, there'll be plenty of forbidden episodes over on the Patreon." No, I didn't really. We probably will put them back on eventually. We just need to let Podbean go, scuttle back off into the little corner. We're being watched, you see. Me and Anthony wearing tinfoil hats, so you're eating our own poo. We're being watched. Because our own poo is the only food that doesn't have microchips in it.
I noticed I went for a poo the other day and mine was like beeping afterwards, so I don't know how you managed to do it, but
like that tracker that oh, what's
you
she
put in
called?
Neo on the
No,
Matrix.
I was gonna say fat bastard and Austin Powers. Ooh,
Oh,
frisky out of here. Oh dear. Hey, should we go into the plot?
yeah, please. I don't really want to talk about Fat Bastard getting a finger up the arse for much longer. So yeah, if you want to move on, I'd be delighted.
Oh, okay, let's sit away. Now we have Krusty sort of agreeing to have dinner with the Simpsons upon sort of it's effectively a way to repay Bart for helping to exonerate him for the robbery that Krusty was falsely imprisoned for. Sorry. However, he keeps on cancelling in an upset. Bart writes him a letter saying that he has lost all faith in Krusty. Never meet your heroes, aren't they?
No. It's taken a while, that, hasn't it, for him to come round for, like, I suppose, because that was season one, that, when he got exonerated, thanks to
Well,
Bart.
exactly. I
Maybe
mean, I
that's season
suppose
three.
what we often say with Crussy is that he's not a particularly great bloke, is he?
No. You know what? He's how I feel I would be in the public eye.
Explain.
I'm, despite what people think, I'm not a people person. I'm very introverted. And the fact that you would have to be on all the time and like give people a piece of you, I think that would turn me into a very, very unlikable individual.
Really? See, I think I'd probably enjoy that. I'd be a bit like a Robin Williams character, I think. Just always on.
Yourself.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
I'd fucking love that. Hey, no, I wouldn't. Because there'll be a point, Dan, where you do kill yourself. And all I'll have to look back on you on is these podcasts, and I'll hear myself say that, and I'll never forgive myself. So I'll
say what you did there. You said the part you were meant to think.
Yeah, I did. I said the quiet bit out loud and the loud bit quiet.
That's right. Exactly. Krusty's secretary.
Sorry, I've done it again. I'm sorry. I keep doing it.
I'll tell him in the bath tonight before I fall asleep. I wake up with an arsehole like an empty headlock. Oh, I tell you. Krusty's secretary. She's so moved by Bart's letter that she threatens to quit helping Krusty if he doesn't keep his promise to Bart. So Krusty reluctantly attends. He's invited to say grace. Do you want to tell us what happens, Ant?
He says it in funny talk, doesn't he?
Hebrew, also known as. He recites a Hebrew blessing. And upon realizing that Krusty is Jewish, Lisa begins to ask him about his heritage, he's grown up, etc. And we get upset because Krusty now details the family with his troubled past.
What I don't get though, right? Krusty, that this whole thing starts because Krusty says the grace in Hebrew. If he knew in his head that this was going to unlock so many painful memories, you would just be like, oh, no, thanks. I'll not do it. Thank you. If that's okay with you. You wouldn't put yourself through it, would you?
Yeah, well, exactly. You'd just say like a generic player, thank you, God, for everything we have in front of us. You know, like something very general. We learn that Krusty's real name is Herschel Krestovsky. And upon seeing kind of his growing up in that, like, obviously, he was always destined to be the funny man, the clown, if you will. Do you think his dad's a bit harsh?
I always thought the joke was that, like, his dad, he's this respected, like, sort of figurehead in the Jewish community. And he was like, no, there's no room in comedy for us and our people, like. But I thought that was the joke because he was, like, out of touch because, like, it's like we said earlier, there's so many, like, Jewish people that are, like, immensely funny. And like renowned for being funny.
Well, exactly. It's like, I think especially in America, it's like, it's a well-known thing that like a lot of comedy writers are Jewish people, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I suppose he is a bit harsh. I mean, the fact he like doesn't even like let him justify himself or like you'd think is his dad, you'd be like, oh, well, give it a go, son, see how it goes. Yeah. But he's like, no.
Yep. Well, you know, we're just talking about Jewish actors and stuff there. I'm just going to tell you, I Googled Jewish actors, the top 9 results. You get a shock here, actually. Listeners, you're going to learn something. Daniel Radcliffe is number 1.
Is he?
Then Andrew Garfield. I don't know who that is.
Well, you know who Andrew Garfield is.
I don't.
Yeah, in fact, you probably don't. He was Spider-Man in one of the Spider-Man films.
Oh, right,
yeah. He's a really famous actor. He's a really famous actor.
Yeah, I don't watch kid films. Then the next one is Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, he's Jewish. He's so Jewish.
Hence why Borat was the movie was allowed to get away with so many Jewish jokes. It's because obviously, you know, Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know who that is, right?
That's, Gladiator.
Yeah.
And Napoleon, which was dreadful, by the way.
Yeah, I knew it would be.
I can't give an American accent. So ridiculous. Harrison Ford.
Right.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Who's Jake Gyllenhaal?
He is in Nightcrawler. What else is he in?
I know his face, but I can't think of any of his movies.
He's in loads of stuff. I'm trying to think now. Because you've like put us on the spot a bit here. I can't think of anything in front of me, but he is quite a famous actor. Let's have a look.
Are you Googling his movies, are you?
No, I'm just saying his name in a hushed voice.
Oh, okay. Oh, fair enough. Okay. In that case, I'll finish with the last 3 on the list. Shia LaBeouf.
Right.
Jack Black.
Right.
And I think the least surprising, Seth Rogen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Seth Rogen makes a lot of Jew jokes.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take that list of names and give it to the Reich Economic Office.
We'll save millions. Oh, dear. So, Krusty describes his upbringing on the Lower East Side of Springfield, as we said. His father, Hyman Krustofsky, is a rabbi who hated his son's wish to become a comedian and wanted him to follow in his footsteps and become a rabbi. At school, Krusty made the other students laugh and become a slapstick comedian behind his father's back. One night, Krusty was performing at a rabbi's convention unknowingly attended by Hyman. A rabbi squirted seltzer on him, washing off his clown makeup and recognizing Krusty. An outraged Hyman immediately disowned his son. He's very young to be getting disowned.
Yeah, he's about seven, isn't he?
Yeah, he's very young.
And his dad's like, right, get out of here.
I don't ever want to see you in this house ever again.
What's mad is, though, it's hypocritical because, like, he's there. He's at that event.
Well, yes, exactly.
Until he knows it's his son.
Well, exactly, yeah. And I think, to be fair, I thought Krusty's act looked quite good.
Yeah, it did, to be fair.
That looked like a good night.
Yeah, I think, like you say, though, it is different. You can go there and enjoy it as like a rabbi, as Hyman Krustofsky did. But, like, I think probably what gets him is the fact that, yeah, it's his son. It's like you can watch porn and enjoy it, but the second you realise it's your daughter, you don't know.
I was just going to say, like, you go to a strip club and enjoy the naked ladies, but if that's, like, your niece, you'd be like, ah.
Get out!
Chase now with a broom. Oh, I'll tell you. Krusty's back at work, and unluckily for him, Itchy and Scratchy have a great habit of doing this, don't they? An episode themed on the episode theme of The Simpsons.
Yeah, that's very convenient.
So we get an episode which reduces poor Krusty to tears. I absolutely love it when it cuts back to Krusty after the episode and he's just absolutely, he's just a mess.
Wasn't that a great cartoon, kids?
hey, Ant, that was brilliant. Well done, that was fantastic.
Did Scratchy have a great time playing with his father? Oh, going to commercial.
That's actually quite good.
It's when his eyes fill up and they go get pink as his lips
start. Yes, I always like a sad looking Krusty because with every episode of Krusty, you seem to get him like crying and at the bottom. So you often get this, like, I suppose that's the tragedy of a sad clown, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Laugh to hide the tears.
Oh, start a Simpsons podcast. You know. Anyway, Lisa says to Krusty, a man who envies our family is a man who needs help. And she and Bart decide to reunite father and son. They do find Hyman, and again, he hasn't seen his son in 25 years. And when he answers the door, he tells Bart and Lisa, I have no son. And Bart says, great, we came all the way this way and it's the wrong guy. It was quite funny.
I didn't mean that literally.
It's funny, wasn't it? However, Hyman does refuse to reconcile with Krusty because he believes that his son had abandoned his faith and family. So to outsmart Rabbi Krustofsky, Lisa finds Judaic teachings that urge forgiveness, but he refutes her arguments. You often find that, like, I was arguing with a couple of Newcastle fans on Twitter, and because I've got Christian in my bio, like, they just started attacking me for being a Christian. I was like, well, you know, I'm just, you know, I wasn't swearing or being nasty, really. You were just...
How are they attacking you?
So, like I'd said something like, well, Newcastle's owners are owned by X, Y, and Z. You should be ashamed that you revel in it and take so much joy in the fact you're owned by them. They was, you know, that's a very Christian attitude of you, isn't it? Christian my arse. And I was like, well, it is very Christian because yeah. Like I'm standing up for what's right.
Even Jesus got angry at stuff. Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, this is it. I often say, like, Jesus literally, when he went to the temple and people were like exchanging money, effectively had the bureau de exchange at the temple, Jesus wasn't happy. He chased the moneylenders out with a whip.
God, he was fantastic, wasn't he? He was brilliant.
In a last-ditch effort to get Rabbi Krustofsky on side, Bart quotes Sammy Davis Jr., who was also a Jewish entertainer like Krusty, and he makes a passionate plea about the struggles that Jewish people have had to overcome. Bart's speech finally convinces Hyman that entertainers have a place in Jewish culture. Hyman is very stubborn. I get that. But I suppose I would love to like watch an interview or something with the two rabbis who they got in for this episode. I'd love to hear their sort of take on it. Because the only little thing that they were quoted was saying is they don't like The Simpsons. They think it's inappropriate, but they do accept that it sends profound messages to millions of people. So they were willing to take part in like consultancy for this episode.
Yeah, which is, I think it's the right way to go about it. Like, have you ever seen that that clip from like the 70s when Life of Brian came out?
Mm-hmm.
And it's some like talk show where basically they've got like the pythons and stuff on. And it's the Archbishop of Canterbury and some other religious figure who I think worked for like the News of the World at the time, basically lambasting the film, saying like it's basically saying like it doesn't send out a good message, like it's anti-Christ and all that. And like they just absolutely get destroyed. And I think the problem is with people like that, they can sometimes take the faith too seriously. And it's like, but if you put your faith up on a pedestal, no one's going to want to relate to it, because it's got to be something that like everyone can relate to and everyone has like an entry point to, really.
I think, you know, as I am Christian, people do attack Christianity quite a lot. It seems to be the religion that people can attack without consequence, if you know what I mean. Like, you can say what you want to a Christian and you won't be like deemed a racist or whatever it is. Anyway, I'm not interested in that argument. My point is, I often fall back on the thing that God is bigger than any criticism anybody can give him. Like, people, let them have their opinion, let them, you know, people are entitled to do that, and that's absolutely fine. Like, it's not going to upset God. Don't worry, people can think what they want.
I don't think you'd be arsed. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you really care about it. If you're like, I crack on, lads. I gave you his free will. What can I do? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean,
you
do you
really complain?
I mean, are you bothered when people slag you off? Do you care?
I'm deeply shallow. I am deeply, deeply shallow.
Oh, well, you are going to hate the reviews.
That's why I don't look at them, Daniel. I don't look at them. I just live in my own perfect little bubble. That's me.
Well, yeah, PodPals is 5-star across the board. I mean, I sort of get being slagged off does not bother me one little bit. Like, I have got a lot of people in this planet who do not like me, but I think it was Winston Churchill that said, like, well, if you've got enemies, that's a good thing because it means you've stood up for something. Wrongly, that quote is wrongly given to Eminem. I mean, Eminem just hijacked it and put a ghetto slang on it, which didn't make sense. But it was Winston Churchill who said
Eminem
that.
Eminem that once said, we shall fight them on the beaches and the landing.
I think, therefore, I am Eminem.
I believe it was Marshall Mathers who won this.
I believe it was Slim who said, lady, I have a husband. I didn't know what quote I was going for there, you know, where the woman said to Winston Churchill, oh, if I was married to you, Winston, I'd poison your tea. And he said back to the woman, if I was your husband, I'd drink it. famous wit. So we're up to the point anyway where Krusty's doing his live show, feeling rather glum, and he calls for Itchy and Scratchy to roll. However, Bart and Lisa are backstage with Hyman, and he and Krusty joyously reconcile before the audience. Hyman even accepts a cream pie from Bart and throws it into his son's face.
Oh, dear.
Grow up. Grow up. Hey. You are a child. I mean, imagine having a brain.
That, was he?
I mean, imagine having a brain so eroded. You hear the term cream pie and you're like, whoop, can't say cream pie.
No, it's actually the word rabbi. It really turns us on.
That's understandable. That's been nursing
an erection this whole time.
Yeah, understandable. What do you think, Anth? I mean, we're at the end of the episode. Have we talked about it enough? I think we talked about a lot of side stuff, but I think I would just go back again and say Hyman is like a stubborn old goat, isn't he? But I suppose he strikes me as like that era of dad. Like, the son's done one thing once and it's pissed him off that much. He hasn't spoken for 20 years. Oh, get over it. And he had to have like a harsh reality check to finally sort of come round.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird, like, one thing that's not touched upon in the episode, like, surely, because Springfield's a small place, like, everybody knows everybody's business, I feel. Surely he would have known that Krusty was a successful entertainer before Bart and Lisa got in touch with him. Like, it's just, it's weird how, I could never put my son or any family member out of my life like that. I don't understand how people can, to be honest. It's a bit mad to me.
Yeah, there's very little that, you know, to quote Mrs. Brown's Boys, if you'll allow me. If you'll allow me. I remember, because my nan and granddad, They used to love it, right? So I remember watching it with them once, and the son was up in court for stealing or something. And the police said to Mrs. Brown, "Oh, would you be willing to stand in court and say that your son was really here with you last night?" And she says, "Yes, I would," twice. And that always reminded me of, well, yeah, you would commit, what's the word where you lie in court? What?
When you're in contempt of court?
No, it's not what you mean, contempt. It's where you, oh, there's a proper word. I'm sorry, listeners. What?
Selling parties.
Well, yeah, but there's a word for doing it in court.
It's called telling porkies. That's where it comes from. It's a legal word.
Perjury, I was going to say.
No, it's definitely telling porkies.
Okay, so telling porkies. So basically, even if it meant that you were going to sort of damn yourself entirely, risk your own freedom and safety, you would do that to protect your child. So my son could more or less do pretty much anything, and I would always still love him. There's nothing that would drive me away from Tottenham for 25 years, really.
What if, say, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, right? Turns 18, he comes to you, he says, "Dad, I want to start a Big Bang Theory podcast." What would you do?
Oh, I have no son!
You're actually a rabbi by that point in your life.
A complete turnaround like Cartman on South Park.
No, actually, he is a one for you. I've said this to my brother as well about my niece. Uh-huh. What would you do if in, say, about 5-6 years' time, when he's like 8 or 9 or whatever, if he came to you and was like, "Dad, I want to go at the match." And you were like, "Oh, that's great, son, I'll take you." But he meant Newcastle. Would you take him?
I'd tell you what I'd say. I'd say, "You're from Durham, son. You don't live anywhere near Newcastle. You live on the river that goes through Sunderland. All of our family are from Sunderland. We're all Sunderland fans. Stop being so ridiculous." And absolutely flatly refuse to have any involvement whatsoever.
Then if he still goes, he's out the house, yeah?
Absolutely. "I have no son!" I'll be seeing that a lot.
Yeah. Was it his birthday card this year? I noticed. You can't even read
Oh, I'll tell you, mate. No, I like this episode, to be honest. It's nice. To be honest, for as much as I'm slagging off Hyman Krasovsky, I actually quite like him. I like that old-fashionedness, to be honest.
Yeah, he's very black and white, isn't he?
And I also like people who stand by the principles, whether or not I agree with them. I'm a massive Elizabethan. I'm not so much a royalist now that Charles is in charge, but when Queen Elizabeth was in charge, I absolutely loved her. And Jeremy Corbyn wouldn't stand for the national anthem, but I really like Corbyn, so I was like, oh no. But just because I disagreed with his stance on that, I respected him that he always maintained it.
Yeah, with a lot of things, I feel like I do sit on the fence with a lot of things.
Like what?
I don't know. I couldn't think. I was not expecting a follow-up question.
I like how you're sitting on the fence with that question.
Yeah, fair enough. Need I say more?
We'll have to call you Geneva Anth.
Geneva Anth.
Geneva Anth.
I feel like the way the world is now, because everything's like an argument on social media, like you can't express an opinion now on social media without everyone just fucking jumping down your throat. And it's because everything now is black and white, and I think that is part of the problem. Like you can't have two slightly differing point of views. Like you can't see, like if you say something about one thing, you always go, "Oh, but what about this? What about that?" And like,
yeah, what aboutery?
Yeah, what aboutery? There's a lot of that going on social media at the minute.
And I think it applies to anything now. I think the internet has like rapidly accelerated this sort of reaction to somebody you disagree with. Like, if, let's say, Joey Barton, for example, the guy's obviously a "see you next Tuesday," really, is the guy's a prick. But he is entitled to have that opinion on whether or not females should be commentating on male football, etc.
Joey Barton is a good example, because I think with him, the problem is he has a right to say something, which is fair enough. You can't take away his right to say something, and that's what he's doing. So there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is now, everything anybody says on Twitter or social media or anything, everyone has a platform now. Whereas Joey Barton saying the stuff that he would have said like 20 years ago, people just gone, "All right, shut up." Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas now, you can't ignore him because it's physically in front. I mean, we're talking about him now on a podcast, you know what I mean? And that's kind of what he wants. People don't care what they say anymore. It's as long as what they say gets, like, gets attention. And that's the cesspit now of, like, social media.
Yeah, and it is so reactionary, isn't it? There's very little room for reasoned debate. And I don't even think that's just social media. I think that's just generally. It feels like the whole, basically since Trump was elected, that everybody is just so, everything is so black and white. There's very little gray area. Everybody is either this or the that, and there's just like turf wars in between. And it's sad. It's sad, really, because that's how far we've sunk that we can't like respect one another anymore. That's just how it is, like.
Yeah, but anyway, you know, back to the war.
Yeah, this is a Simpsons podcast.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, I mean, have you anything you'd like to add before I do the whole sign off?
Not really. Do you know what it is? I feel like, as much as I love this episode, like you've said, there's not a lot to really say about it. And I think it's because there's not like a B story. Do you know what I mean? It is
true.
Like A, B, C, D, like beginning to end, sort of run through.
Yeah, it's very linear. Hey, what I will say is it's nice to be back after Christmas and New Year. It feels quite strange being sat in the old podcasting chair again.
Yeah, I know. It does feel like ages because we didn't actually do that episode last week, did we, Dan? It was done
new.
In advance, which is why we made several references to New Year.
Yes, the mystery of the theatre.
But yes, it is. It's very, very nice to be back. I've got a new microphone, so I hope people can tell the difference of that.
Yes, that is one of the criticisms we get, that I'm incredibly obnoxious and Ant's mic isn't good. That's like what we get.
I'll take that, really. If the worst thing you can say about me is that my mic's shit, you have not been listening to a word that comes out of my mouth.
And my argument would be, surely as a host of a podcast, it is your duty to be obnoxious.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. Like, why do you think we have a podcast? Because we have a genuine belief that people will be interested in what we have to say. That's how we are.
And I have no other outlet in which somebody will listen to me. So for those people who download this every week, I am sorry. And thank you very much. Oh, dear. Look, you can write to the show. I have begun putting all of our social tags and contact details in. I mean, I put Ant's address and mobile number in the description of the show. just yours. You can write to the show at podpalspodcasts@gmail.com. We're over on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, yada, yada, yada. Just type in podpals at the search bar. Can't really go wrong. We are active in Simpsons Board Post and UK Simpsons Thrill House, all of that stuff. So you can catch us out and about. If you would like to meet up in my car behind a disused factory, I will take on all comers. There is no level of sexual depravity low enough for me. So that will suit the listeners down to the ground, I'm sure.
What have we got next week, Dan?
No idea. I haven't Googled it yet.
Oh, you never fucking... I always do this to, like, you know, just make you feel special so you can...
Simpsons Series 3, Google search.
It is Treehouse of Horror 2 is what it is.
Treehouse of Horror 2 by Al Jean and Mike Reiss.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yes, it's Monkey's Paw. Yes. It's Monkey's Paw. Yes. Oh, get in. Oh, I love that. He'll be sorry. It's so funny. Oh, yes. Oh, look forward to this. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, Howie, let's record right now.
This episode aired on the 28th of October.
Hi, everybody. Well, if that's something that floats your boat and you want to talk about a monkey's severed hand, do join us next week.
And before we forget, we are selling monkey's severed paws on the Pod Pals shop. You can buy those now for...
Yes, they are great for weddings, bar mitzvahs, and children's birthdays. Don't worry, it's not Bubbles' hand.
And if you hear a story that one child got a head instead of a hand in theirs, don't listen. It's all just bullshit. It never happened.
It is just inflammatory lies by rival Simpsons podcasts. Four-finger discount, what do you get off them? A key ring, huh? What do you want? A key ring, or do you want a seven monkey's hand? Come on, what's more interesting?
A key ring and top content? Go on then, fuck off if that's what you want.
No, you'd have a seven monkey's head and low quality. That's what you can have. Okay, listeners, we will love you and leave you. See you all next week.